For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Hello, friends. Thanks for listening today to the podcast of Ripley Baptist Temple. I pray that the message today will be a help and a blessing to you and to your family. Now join us as we listen to the Word of God from the pulpit of Ripley Baptist Temple. Take your Bibles, turn to Galatians chapter 6 today. Galatians, the sixth chapter. Got my batteries replaced. Amen. Galatians chapter 6. I've asked Brother Barr to preach for us tonight, and he's agreed to do that. I look forward to hearing from him. He's, missionaries and evangelists and workers like the Barrs. They're not able to be in where they would like to be all the time and as much as they'd like to be. And so they're busy about the Father's business. And so he doesn't, not unable to get here as much, I'm sure, as he'd like to see his mother-in-law. But anyway, I appreciate so much Silent Word Ministries. And maybe you can teach us a couple of basic signs tonight, or refresh us, Rebecca. Rebecca's already taught us well, but maybe you can refresh us and review a couple of signs. Sign language is one of those things, it's just like any language. You know, how often do you run into someone who speaks French, and you had French in high school, and you think, oh, if I say a word or two, they're going to think I speak French, and then I'm going to be embarrassed. But we ought to always be ready. And, you bump into hearing impaired people more often, really, than you'll bump into someone who speaks German or French. But often enough, it always reminds me, oh, I wish I'd have reviewed that. Wish I'd have gone through the basics a little more. But thankfully, Mitchell and Rebecca and others have helped us to the point, and Brother Barr, where we can kind of muddle along. I can at least carry on a simple conversation with a hearing impaired person. I'm glad I can do that. And like any language, they're always, I found, they're grateful that you're wanting to learn to communicate with them. And so there are hearing impaired deaf people all around us, and you'll bump into them. It may be at the mall. It may be someone you work with. Maybe you just never know. So we want to give the gospel to everyone, don't we? Galatians chapter 6. I thought about those that are going. That's a great song that you sang this morning. Great song, I think, for those that are hurting today. And I thought about these verses. I just really thought about these verses. I thought about the Kings and the Randolphs and the Sayers and so many of you. This was your first Christmas without a loved one, and I know for many of you it was a very difficult time. To be such a joyous holiday, many times it's a time of sadness for many, But we understand we sorrow not as others which have no hope. We our sorrow is different. We understand that. But Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, brethren, I like it when Paul addresses us. If a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. Notice this, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. If I were writing that, I'd probably put every man must bear his own burden. And I think that's true also. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Our Father, I pray that you'd help us. Lord, as we think about this season, as we think about the spirit of this season, we understand the spirit of this season is the Holy Spirit. And Lord, as we consider the end of a year and the beginning of a new year, we consider those that are in the valley, traveling through the valley right now, the valley of death. Thank you that you're with us. To those that are lonely, I pray, Spirit of God, that you'll be the God of all comfort to them. Help us today. To those that are lost, I pray that Christ would be lifted up. People would be drawn to you. Thank you for the book of Esther that we studied last hour. What a wonderful book and study. And Lord, we thank you that the King offered that golden scepter to us of grace one day. Help us in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to speak this morning just to give this message a title, I guess I would say, carrying the spirit of Christmas into the new year. How do you carry the spirit of Christmas into the new year? Especially in about 30 days when you get the bill from your Visa card, MasterCard. How do you carry that spirit of Christmas, you know? A friend of mine, I saw where, I mean, the plates weren't even off the table. The family had left and she was already taking the ornaments off the tree. You know, she was tearing down, you know, putting it all away. And by the way, if you teenagers want to make some money, I'll pay you to carry some stuff up in the attic for me or under the steps. But anyway, the spirit of Christmas, it's a wonderful time, isn't it? I love Christmas and I love all that it means to us as believers. But how do we carry that spirit of Christmas into the new year? Over here in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1, the Bible says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, Paul said, beseech you, and by the way, he was a prisoner as he wrote this, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. In other words, bearing with one another in love. Long suffering being patience. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. But notice forbearing one another, bearing with each other, putting others' needs and burdens before ours. Forbearing one another in love. How do we keep that spirit of Christmas? As Paul wrote this, he's writing, I think it was Harry Ironside that called the Galatian people, he said they were a fickle people. And they were. They were in and out and hot and cold and up and down. And they were given to false doctrine. The legalists had come in, not teaching them how to act, but trying to add to salvation. They were saying, well, you've got to, you know, Christ is fine, but, you know, the Gnostics and the Stoics and the Epicureans and then the Orthodox Jews were saying, let's not forget our father Abraham and Moses and circumcision, all of that. And they were trying to add to salvation. And Paul, you know, just put his war paint on. I like what he did in Galatians chapter 1 as he began this book. He said, I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. He said, neither I received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. And he wrote about the gospel. And he put his war paint on. He said, I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. He said, it's not one like we preach. It's not another of the same kind, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. That's what Paul said. So he's dealing with the gospel, the righteousness that comes by faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. And he says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. He gives us four ways, I think, that we can carry the spirit of Christmas into the new year. And we understand that the spirit of Christmas is the Holy Spirit. Why is there joy? Because of the Holy Spirit. Why is there happiness? Because of the Holy Spirit. Why is there gift giving? Because of the gift that came in Bethlehem's manger 2,000 years ago. Why is there all the emphasis on the manger? And I'm glad that two of the greatest holidays in the world still revolve around our Savior, His birth and His resurrection. How do we carry all of that forward? Well, I want you to notice four ways, and I'll just give these to you quickly. Number one, I want you to notice we do it by bringing back the sinning brother. We do it, secondly, by bearing up the stumbling brother. We do it, thirdly, by examining the self-centered brother. We'll talk about that in a moment. And then fourthly, by the reward, remembering the reward of the sowing brother. Spirit of Christmas. The spirit of Christmas. Number one, notice bringing back the sinning brother. He says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault. If a man is overwhelmed, he's caught up. In other words, if he gets caught in a trap. I think in John chapter 8 when they found that woman taken in adultery and they said, we caught her in the very act and they brought her to Jesus. I just wonder what he wrote in the dirt. You know, everyone always wants to speculate that. And I heard a great preacher say one time, he probably wrote, where's the man? If you caught him, if you caught her, there was a man involved. Where's he at? Of course, it was all just a plot to trap our Lord. But notice this, if you're caught up, if a man be overtaken in a fault, if they're caught up in a fault, if they're caught in a trap, many times of their own doing, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one the spirit of meekness. If we want to carry the spirit of Christmas forward, I think we have to keep in mind we're bringing back the sinning brother. How many folks get saved at Christmas time? How many folks come back to God at Christmas time? And how many get closer to God at Christmas time and make decisions at Christmas time because we're thinking of the Savior who came to die for the sins of mankind? But that's what the word restore means. It means bringing them back to a place where God wants them to be, where God meant for them to be, bringing them back, bringing them back. The word restore has the idea of setting a broken bone. Setting a broken bone. If you've ever had a bone broken, most of us have, and I remember back in the old days when they put the cast on and, you know, you'd have to put a plastic bag around it when you took a shower or something or whatever. And, you know, it would get soft. And they've sure changed all of that now. But they'd put a cast on it to set the bone, to help the bone to grow back correctly. And they didn't lop the arm off or cut the hand off or the foot off as we want to do in our churches. If we want to carry the spirit of Christmas forward, then we need to start carrying the spirit of Christ. And the spirit of Christ is this, to bring people back to where God meant for them to be, to restore them. And notice it says we're to restore them. First of all, it says you that are spiritual. And he tells us who the spiritual Christian is. Notice over in verse 22 of chapter 5, he says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. That's the spirit of Christmas. That's the spirit of Christ. The fruit of the Spirit, it's an inner peace. It's an inner work of God. He says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, or self-control. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Hey, why put on a happy face for 30 days? Why don't we carry that into January? Amen. When there's snow on and you're walking up your hill because the snow and ice and you don't feel well and you hadn't seen the sun for a while and the bills are coming due and all of that. Hey, what an opportunity, what an open door for Christians to bear one another's burdens and to restore others Every month ought to be Christmas. Every month ought to be December. A spiritual Christian is one filled with love and joy and peace and long-suffering. All of these things, the fruit of the Spirit, collectively are part of the Spirit-filled walk of the believer. He says, bring back the sinning brother, considering thyself in the spirit of meekness. In other words, he says, not only consider your brother, but thank God you're not there. Thank God you're not there. That's the spirit of Christmas, isn't it? He says this, restore him in the spirit of meekness. If a man be overtaken in a fault, that's what a church is. A church is a spiritual hospital, you know. We're not a museum where we come shine on each other. Thank God we're not like the people down the road or up the street and we're better than everybody else. No, that's not what a church is, a spiritual hospital. We've all been banged up and blown up and backed up and attacked and felt the darts of the devil, the fiery darts of the devil. We've been tempted and tried and tested and all of that throughout the week. We come to church to get patched up, to get filled up, if you will. Oh, how we need the Spirit of God. No one's spiritual if they don't have the Spirit of God. Certainly no one is Spirit-filled without the Spirit of Christ upon them. Bring back the sinning brother by restoring him. I think what he's saying there, he says, consider yourself. You're going to need help tomorrow. Secondly, notice this. He said, not only bring back the sinning brother, but bear up the stumbling brother. Bear up the struggling brother. Bear them up. Bear them up. Look in verse 2. Bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. He said, you Galatians, why don't you just quit sitting around the church and with your nose in the air and get out there among the folks and understand what people are going through. He says, bear up that struggling brother. Bear up that stumbling brother. In Romans chapter 15, the Bible mentions this in verse 1. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. Not only a sinning brother, but sometimes spiritual brethren just go through valleys. They go through struggles. They go through hard times. The Bible says we're to bear them up. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, the weaknesses of the weak, and not to please ourselves. He goes on to say in verse 2, let every one of us please his neighbor for his good edification, building up of others. For even Christ pleased not himself. For as is written, the reproaches of them that are reproached fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Chapter 15, verse 4. So he says there, bear the infirmities, bear the weaknesses of the weak. Not only do we restore the sinning brother, but we help bear up, we help lift up, we help encourage the stumbling brother, the struggling brother. In verse 2, bear them up, and so fulfill the law of Christ. That's what Jesus did. If you want to be like Jesus, that's what he did. Bear them up. You say, how do you do that, Brother Rick? Well, there's a number of ways, but you'll have to get close to them to do that. Paul Chappell said, we impress people from a distance, but we impact people up close. You have to get close to them, and they'll have to allow you to get close to them. If you want to bear up others' burdens and bear them up when they're struggling, you're going to have to get close to them. You're going to have to get in their circle, and they're going to have to trust you enough to allow you into their circle. Amen. Some of you are Christmas your senses are dulled through the Christmas. You're in that numb land, that land of nod there. They have to allow you in. There has to be a trust there, trusting of you and trusting of the Lord. There's a testing there. There's a trial there. There's a time to do it. There's a treasure there. There's a testimony to be restored there. Bearing up one another's burdens. Not only do you have to get close to them, but it takes the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you. Not only that, you have to feel the weight of their burden. If you're going to get in there with people and help them And you, if you're going to bear them up, just like Aaron and Hur did Moses, as you bear them up, as you help them along, you're going to have to feel the burden with them. That's what compassion is. That's what empathy is. You can sympathize from a distance, but when you empathize, you're entering in that circle of suffering, and that you're saying, look, I may not understand, but I want to bear your burden, but it may be something that you do understand. You'll feel the weight of the burden. Number five, you'll express compassion, which the Bible says makes a difference. And then you have to understand, it says, as you bear up the needs of others, you have to understand you're going to probably need help tomorrow. You're going to need help tomorrow. As they're going through their trial, you have to understand your trial's coming. Your trial's coming. I've been here long enough. I've certainly seen the grace of God in so many of your hearts and lives. I've seen it. I've seen the Spirit of Christ. I've seen the Spirit of God. I mean, there's a reason that people come to church when just yesterday on Christmas Day, they lost their mother, lost a loved one. You know why that is? Because Christianity to this family is not just something we do on Sunday. Jesus is our life. Christ is our foundation. Our mother, our mother-in-law, our grandmother left us a legacy, left us a heritage, left us a name, left us a good name. The name of Christ. Not just something that we dabble at. He is our life. Christ in us, the hope of glory. That's the difference. And I thank God for that, because I know that my day's coming and your day's coming. The Bible says, bear ye one another's burdens. So not only do we bring back and restore the sinning brother, considering ourselves, but we hold up, we bear up the stumbling brother, the struggling brother, the struggling brother. And then I like this. You want to carry the spirit of Christmas into the new year? Then learn to examine the self-centered brother. You know who that is? Me. You. He says in verse 3, for if a man think himself to be something when he's nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work. We talked about bearing. We talked about restoring. But look at this, proving. Let every man prove his own work. Take a look at your own work. That's what Paul's saying to the Galatian believers. You know, they had all kinds of problems. They had salvation so muddled and messed up, and they were so self-righteous. They were so fickle, up and down and in and out. And he said, let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. You know what he's saying? He says, take joy in the fact that you're walking with God and having victory, and not in comparing your life to the other brother. You say, boy, they're a mess. Have you heard about them? Have you heard about them? Oh, they're such a mess. Oh, my soul. Can you believe what they're doing? At least we're better than them. That's the way the Galatians were. They were saying, well, we're better than the Smiths down the road. Hopefully there are no Smiths here today. At least we're better than them, you know. Listen, the measure of our life and ministry ought to be our likeness to Jesus Christ. And so he says here, examining the self-centered brother, not only the stumbling, struggling brother, the sinning brother, but he said the self-centered brother, which often is me. Let every man prove his own work. Then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone. He's not saying that you rejoice in what you've done, but what Christ has done in you and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. In other words, personally, we bear responsibility for what we do. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Hey, he says, be not deceived. God's not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Now often we take that to the negative extent, and we should. But also this, Whatsoever man soweth in righteousness and spirituality and to the Spirit, he'll reap that also. He'll reap life everlasting. He that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Examine, he said, prove your own work. Prove your own work. Prove your own work. Have a lot to be grateful for today. Yeah, I think about whole towns in Kentucky and Illinois and Tennessee and Arkansas. Churches, buildings that are gone. Houses that are gone, businesses that are gone, lives and investments that are gone, completely gone, nothing. We have a lot to be grateful for. I think that's why the Bible says, with food and raiment, let us therewith to be content. He said, examine the self-centered brother. Prove that. Prove that. He says, bear up the stumbling brother. Bear him up. Then he says, bring back the sinning brother. And then he says this, there's a reward for the sowing brother. Notice in verse 9, let us not be weary in well-doing. Siri, I didn't say your name. Don't. I don't want you now. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let's do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. In other words, we'll reap through faithfulness the reward of sowing in righteousness. Don't be weary in well-doing. What kind of world would this be, man? Look at all that, whatever you did for Christmas. What if you carried that same spirit? You say, man, I couldn't take that. My belt, I'd have to get, I couldn't take, my suits are shrinking, everything. I couldn't pay the debt. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the spirit of the thing. I mean, you think about what we do for shut-ins and caroling and visiting and giving and just 100 things. What if we did that every month? The reward of the sower. He said, don't be weary in doing that. He said, in due season you'll reap. But notice, if you faint not. If you faint not. If you faint not. He said, as we have therefore opportunity. And by the way, we have opportunity. Let's do good. The Bible says of Jesus, he went about doing good. He said, let's do good. Let's do good unto all men. Do good. What's gooder than telling somebody about Jesus? Nothing gooder than that. He said, let's do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, he says, for all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. I like that. He says, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. You say, well, I sure wish I felt like I do at Christmas. The Bible says, commit your works unto the Lord, and other things, your heart will be better. I know that sounds funny, but where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. But he says this, for which cause we faint not, though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. That's why you can take an old motor. You can find an old motor out here in a shed somewhere in a barn. It may have been sitting there for years, but you kick it or you try to turn it over. There's still oil in there. It may be rusty on the outside. It may have some blades broken off the head and things like that, but you try to kick it, you try to turn it over, there's oil in there. There's still oil in there in the crankcase. The inward man is renewed day by day. Get that plug fired up and file those old points if it has points and put some new gas in it and get it out there and crank it up. Hey, that inward man's renewed. Our outward man is perishing. You know what? I'm always reminded. I think about the saints of God. I think of Eileen King and Quentin Balzer, and I hate to name it because I always forget. But I just think of so many people throughout our church, and one of the first things that generation miss church. They really miss it. They don't just say it; they miss it. Their outward is slowing down. Their outward is perishing, but their inward is renewed day by day. Their inward. They remember the things of God, and you know what? Many times. They ask about how people are doing. They ask about who's sick. And almost invariably they'll say, I need you to, or they'll say, I need to get my tithe over there. That's what that generation, there's a difference in that generation. Why? Because it's not all on the outward. It's not all just temporal. It's the abundant grace that's redounding to the glory of God. Through years of service and investment, they've sown to the Spirit. And the inward man is renewed day by day. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. He says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. Oh, remind yourself of that. The things that are seen are temporal. The things which are not seen are eternal. Day by day, we redound. Paul said, I'm crucified, yet I live. I'm pressed, but not pinned. He said, we're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. We're persecuted, but not forsaken. We're cast down, but not destroyed. He said, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. That through the excellency of the power may be of God, not of us. How do you carry the spirit of Christmas forward? Do good unto all men. Now we don't go to heaven by doing good. Go to heaven by receiving Jesus as our Savior. But as we have therefore opportunity, examine yourself, prove yourself. Reward, know that there's a reward coming to the faithful. Let's do good and sow to the Spirit. Let's restore the sinning brother. Let's bear up the struggling brother. Amen.